Welcome to the briefing room, a Healthcare Communications Association initiative brought to you by the Foresight Committee. I'm Jo Spadaccino, co-founder of a health comms agency called STIRD, and I'm co-leading this briefing room series with Mike Cann, who's an independent communications consultant, and is also on my colleague on the Foresight Committee. The HCA Foresight Committee explores topics that have relevance not only for today, but also help us as a profession prepare for tomorrow. In our briefing room, we're talking to prominent senior business leaders at the forefront of change in a wide variety of roles in the pharmaceutical sector to help us build a timely picture of what the key areas of focus are looking forward, and importantly, what the future asks will be for us as healthcare communicators. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Mark Corley, who currently holds the position of Associate Director for Research Procurement at Jazz Pharmaceuticals. So hi, Mark. Welcome to the briefing room. Can we start with you just introducing yourself? A bit of your back catalogue would be nice. And also, maybe can you explain to our viewers and listeners what your current role entails in a nutshell?
Yeah, so I've somehow been in the pharma industry now for coming up to 20 years. My background is actually as an organic chemist. I did PhD in organic chemistry, finishing in 2007. The first decade or so of my career in pharma was in manufacturing, or tech ops, if you will. First working in a production plant for active ingredients, and then moving into more business oriented roles, so third party manufacturing and technology transfer, and I guess those kind of roles led to an increasing commercial focus. So for the last 5 years or so, I've been working in procurement now, but very much on the category side, covering things like medical affairs and pharmacovigilance.
Nice, thank you. That's a really interesting career pathway, actually. And I don't actually think I've kind of worked with a procurement partner before who's kind of been with the pharma industry for throughout their career in various roles. So really interesting to see, I guess, what your flavour of being a procurement partner is within the space. Okay, fabulous. Thank you. And you've been in your current role for a while?
Oh gosh, 5 years or so now.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Well, yeah, really looking forward to getting involved in the discussion. So, if it's okay with you, I'm going to crack straight into the questions, and we'll see where the conversation goes. So the first one, and you'll be aware from my setup that we're looking for what's hot, but also what's kind of coming down the pipe for us as healthcare communicators. Mm. So let's start with the here and now a little bit more. What do you feel are the, like, let's say, the top three influential trends impacting the pharmaceutical sector right now? Really big question to start with.
I'd say probably AI. AI and AI as all three.
It really is that big.
yeah. Well, no, I'd say AI is definitely one, which we can probably talk about more, I'm sure. Then there's the whole geopolitical side of things, but I don't think anyone needs to hear from me on that. There's probably nothing I can add to the conversation. Mm-hmm. There'll be people who understand that a lot more than me. But also, I'd say, really the types of medicines that we have. Like, if I look back to when I first started out almost 20 years ago, if you'd look at some of the bigger pharma products then, they were things more for chronic ailments, like hypertension and cholesterol. Mm-hmm. That we'd see some of the bigger companies with, and now here in 2026, it's quite a different focus of oncology still there, and the big emerging area of the weight loss treatments as well. But I'd say out of those really big products that you see, it's they're more difficult to make. That everything seems so much more complex, and of course, products, you know, the dose over a year is maybe more expensive than it used to be, which probably means that there's more, going to be more of a need for procurement representatives going forward. And I think it certainly helps if, like in my case, you have that technical scientific background in a procurement role, because even though I'm a chemist and not a medic or not someone who's expert in clinical trials or anything like that, but I think when you have a scientific training and you think in that way, you realize that there are other factors at play, not just price. It's about, you know, quality and delivery and reliability. So I think that's one trend that interests me, of just, you know, what are the key products in the industry.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Like you say, it's kind of like, great innovation and promise on one hand, but also adds a different dimension to what the industry has been used to, I suppose. That kind of made me think immediately of a kind of follow-up question in some of what you've said. And you were talking about like the roundedness, I suppose, of perspective and bringing that to your role. And, I think, sometimes rightly or wrongly, procurement is often seen as a, as very numbers driven. And you've talked about, how actually other things are important, and obviously relationships, and connections and how partnerships flourish also matter. And so as we look forward, like, how are you seeing that balance, and like how difficult in practice is that balance to kind of, kind of manage those two things?
Yeah, so it's a bit more straightforward if you're buying commodities whereby they are of a standard quality. Price is going to be the deciding factor. If we're talking about buying services, price is always one part of that. But it's so many other factors. The that, you know, are these people going to be able to deliver and do it well? Can they operate in a, you know, an autonomous fashion where it's needed? And also, I suppose another thing that's becoming more relevant is the whole sustainability question as well. But it's certainly more than just price. And I think anyone who's worked in communications knows that there's got to be that right, you know, cultural fit of whoever you're working with, and thinking, you know, we're going to be dealing with these people and asking for them to help us, you know, communicate, get our message across in the right way. So we need to be able to have that rapport with them. It's just, it's maybe harder to define, certainly compared to price, but it's an important part of things in well as well. But that said, price is always going to be a factor, because as much as you might say it's not the only consideration, you'll have a budget, and if you can't do something within that budget, then you're not going to be able to move forward with that supplier.
Yeah, of course. And for some of the reasons that you've already mentioned, like, it's just becoming a slightly different environmental context for us to consider as well. And that plays into it too.
Yeah, and probably it's maybe more obvious if you're working in operations as to what the environmental and sustainability aspects might be compared to communications. But there are certainly things in there that you can consider. And of course, we read so much about AI and its potential, you know, impact on carbon footprint. So that's something I think is important to understand too.
Yeah, there's lots of kind of dual-sided kind of arguments at the moment, aren't they, that everyone's got to kind of navigate, and it's become that kind of fine balance, more than ever before, I think, actually. We're kind of trying to do that, with lots of different things. So I really loved what I saw on your LinkedIn profile as your little kind of tagline, I suppose. You say making pharma R&D, buying less trying, and I love that. I was like, immediately it's stuck in my brain. So natural born communicator right there. But kind of linked to that, I suppose, I'd like to dig into a little bit more about, okay, well, what is trying potentially? And so if you had a magic wand, which of your greatest challenges would you look to solve?
Yeah, and really, I should say I was asked once, like, why do you say you're trying to make pharma R&D buying less trying? And I said, well, yeah, it's because it rhymes. And I thought it just stood out a bit more. I know there's that kind of cringe factor as well, but it was just something a bit different.
Yeah, totally.
I think always for procurement, it's helping with a magic wand. I'd love to be able to help people convey what it is they're trying to achieve. Which isn't always easy because sometimes a person might come to procurement for assistance, and what they're looking to do is quite complex, and what they might require is, what sets apart different providers can be quite subtle. So, yeah, anything that helps people to explain what it is they're trying to achieve, I think would be good. I sometimes think that it reminds me of when you see, I'll be criticized by some people for mentioning this, but like location, location, location on Channel 4, where they're trying to find people a house, and they're given a set of criteria, and then they come up back with some suggestions. This is exactly what you were looking for because it's near a train station and you could have a home office. And then the people say, oh no, this isn't what I want at all. Because there might be something else that they had they didn't even, think to ask. But I would say also, like, it would be great to change people's perceptions about what procurement is. We've already touched on this, but so that they realize that it's not just the price, that it is this business partnership role. It doesn't help that culturally people don't know what procurement is, because you'll see movies about doctors and scientists and CEOs, but you won't necessarily see a movie or a TV show about a category manager. So it's probably harder for people to understand
You could say the same
what the
about
role is
health
about.
communications as well, to be fair. It's something we share as a burden.
But and I guess it would be great to if I could help people to understand that it's not just about the price, but value. Of course, we have to be within our budgets, but we're looking about reliability and delivery just as much on top of those things. And probably, I think it really ties that. Probably my third thing would be if I could change that general perception about procurement. And this isn't something tied necessarily even to pharma procurement or specifically to my experiences. It's something you'd see in general, but there's always that idea that procurement slows things down, because they might say you need multiple quotes, or you need to do like a formalized RFP process, or they'd say the contract's not right and there's other things you need to add in. But it's not necessarily that's slowing things down, because it could be that it's doing things more thorough, that the setup might take a bit longer, but then for the execution stage, that things run a whole lot more smoothly.
Makes sense, makes sense. I'm probably going to come back to the AI question because we've definitely got to touch on that. Maybe it is part of this answer as well, but what's exciting you most about the industry you work in as you look to the future? And you define yourself, like what you mean by industry.
Yeah, I guess if I look at pharma as a whole, as someone with a scientific background who's always been interested in science, I think that's why so many people, when we finished our studies, moved into the industry. But I think what impresses me that the most, is the idea that we're developing new medicines that haven't previously existed to treat unmet needs. And if you look, when there's a major requirement for things, and the most obvious example would be during COVID, how the industry mobilized with the rollout of the vaccinations. So it's just to be able to be part of an industry that could respond in that way. It's maybe a challenge that not many industries would face as part of what they do.
Yeah, sense of pride there.
Yeah, certainly it's interesting to see that, how needs can be met in such a responsive way.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, let's talk about AI. And obviously, when it comes to the application of new technologies, even in things like drug discovery and the industry foundations as we know it, obviously there's huge strides being made there. But when it comes to, I guess, the closer kind of community of healthcare communications and how they're embracing kind of new technologies as a whole. Whether you're an in-house role or agency side, like what are you seeing at the moment, and where do you see, AI and data analytics really having the biggest impact in kind of in the foreseeable future? Obviously, none of us have got a crystal ball, so.
Yeah, I think the best way we'll see the benefits of AI, and this is purely my opinion, not the opinion of anyone else, but I think it's, we hear a lot of we're being told the value of AI, how we should be using it. And I mean, even if you listen to a podcast about any topic about, movies or sport, and there'll be the adverts, you'll hear the advert for, it'll be some technology company, and they'll be talking about their AI tool, and then you'll be on to hearing about yesterday's football results and what they think of it. So it's kind of like ubiquitous now. But I almost feel that we should be, as those of us in professional roles or technical roles or scientific roles, we should be turning the conversation on its head and saying, okay, here's what I want AI to do. Here's what would make my life so much easier, if I had an AI tool for these particular tasks. Now, I spend ages writing this or this document. I'll help you design the tool or the prompts, or I'll give you my historical example so that you can feed it into it. But yeah, I think that's what we should be doing, like really turning the conversation on its head, and it should be driven by
The
us,
need and this, yeah.
the business users. And I think that's probably a mentality I've tried to really take on this year, because I do have a I'd say healthy cynicism, or if that's the right phrase, or I'm being deliberately cautious with what I hear about AI, because I'm just about old enough to remember the early days of the dot coms, and how everything was going to be so much better for us, and it probably was, but not all of those companies that were promising everything in the early dot-com boom survived, and so we're being told that AI can do a lot of things. So Yeah, that's why I'm deliberately thinking, here's what I want it to do. And it, there's still going to we're still going to have the need for people because it's going to be people who have the expertise that can train AI and say, here's all my knowledge and experience, and it takes me ages to do something. Now I've trained you. Please do it. Reproduce as I require in a quicker way. But then it's really that, like, the wider technology question that, the younger generation now are kind of digital natives, even more so than my generation was. So the people who are currently, like, at high school or university, it'll only be a few years until they're the next generation of HCPs or med comms professionals. And they're going to expect all of these technological advances to be, fully integrated into what they do. So we need to be ready for it. But then I, you know, I'd also see that in the coming years, that people who can still have that human touch are going to be so important. That's what's going to set people apart as well, that they're not fully reliant on technology.
What's your take on in terms of kind of how the relationships and I guess the environment around, commissioning and contracting? I think you've already touched on, there is a proliferation of tools and companies promising, I guess, lots of different solutions. How as a procurement partner do you navigate your way through that when actually the market, becomes pretty noisy? What's your kind of approach to sifting through that and I guess identifying good purchasing in that kind of environment?
Yeah, I suppose that it's always going to be that clarity and transparency of what you're setting out to do. If you can capture that the right way in a contract, and hopefully, operationalize what you're trying to achieve. I think that's clear. So with anything you do, if you the key to it is in the early stages, the understanding what you're trying to achieve, making sure you find the right external supplier or vendor to work with who can help you in this way, and then being fully clear on what it is you're trying to achieve, and have that set out in your contracts in a non-ambiguous way. But then have things operationalized throughout the course of a project or an engagement with the right KPIs and so on and so forth. So whether it's done using technology or just written in a contract, I think that's still of high importance, really.
I suppose what I see sometimes is, again, coming back to that kind of tension between two things is, I guess everybody wants to innovate and try new things and do things for the first time. But that obviously comes with some level of risk and lack of clarity. And that's where it can be sometimes kind of quite difficult to just strike that right balance, isn't it? And make sure that, there's an element of, going into things together, being transparent that, actually no one can know exactly what's going to happen on a project or whatever because it's never been tried before. And yet that everyone feels confident enough that, there's enough guardrails and, I guess risk mitigation in there to, not get into serious trouble. But you've kind of got to have that tension of both things, haven't you?
And I think no one really wants it to be a situation where you're just working with external partners just as, like, an extra pair of hands. You know, I'd do this myself if I had the time or if I had a bigger team. It's so much better if it can be that your supplier is supporting with ideas, creating things as well, coming with the curiosity and you know, and challenging you as the customer, even to say, you know, are you sure that that's how you want to do things, and is there a better way of doing things? So yeah, I think yeah, moving from that kind of relationship away from it, you know, being a purely transactional thing, or here's what we want to be done, just please go and execute it.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Okay, I'm gonna get back on to, I guess, health communications. You'll know that the viewers and listeners of this interview are all health communication specialists in one shape or form, whether they're, you know, in in-house roles or agency side. So big broad open question, I suppose. Like, what does great health communications look like to you? How would you define it?
Yeah, I guess as the non-experts, it's and being as a business partner, it's kind of more straightforward for me, because to a certain extent I can say if the business is happy, if the organization is satisfied with what they see, then I know it's good. Because procurement as a support function, we're not, you know, here to, you know, we're not in a procurement business, we're in the pharma industry. So it's what the business needs. So procurement has to be agile and versatile in that way, and constantly changing to reflect what the business requires. But having said that, if I'm sat on a pitch meeting and I'm not a medic, I'm not a pharmacist, but if somebody's talking to me about what their approach would be if they were appointed on a project, and if I can understand what it is they're trying to explain, what they would do and what would set them apart, then I think if they can explain it to me, then they're surely going to be able to explain that to, you know, the community out there that needs to hear that as well. So I always think if you can take something, and it could still be very you know, very complicated subject, but if you can take it and explain to me what your approach is, and I understand that and see what's different, I think that for me is
Good
good
test.
communications. And then really what I can do is then or a procurement professional could do is try and develop those relationships further and think, right, if we've got someone who can perform really well, who can do something impressive, and then we can, you know, have good value from them as well at the right rates that sit within budgets that people may have, then procurement can assist by telling the wider organization about that and saying, well, you know, they've done really well on this project for this product, so I'm sure they could do it on one of our other products. Or if you're doing another task in this on the same products, that, you know, they've already built up that knowledge, or kind of using the gravitational pull of a bigger successful account to see what's more work we can put with a particular vendor. But I think it works best if it's done in a logical way. So like, if somebody's doing one type of project for you, what's the next logical thing we could consider them for, rather than just, you know, random
For
services?
everything.
Because I think everyone can do everything. It's more a case of what can they do well, or what do they would they do well that would be a good fit for our requirements.
And having that, I guess, trust and transparency between partners to be able to have those conversations and know that when you're told something, you know, you can trust it and believe it. And that's, you know, that, you know, is one thing that I think, yeah, we all need to work on, isn't it? As you know, our respective kind of parts to the relationship. It's like, okay, you know, nothing gets done really without that as a foundation. Okay, I'm gonna stick on this topic, I think. And as I said, the membership of the HCA is very balanced. It, you know, health communicators from all over, but people working within agencies are, you know, a strong component of the membership. So this is a question focused purely on them, I guess. And you know, this is your platform. So what would you say to agencies in terms of what do you need from comms agency partners to really make the most of what you're seeing in terms of the evolving landscape and the day-to-day challenges that and opportunities that you know your organization's trying to respond to? What's your asks of us?
I'd say my demands most moderate are all I want is the earth. Probably everything. I think to be successful, it's about explaining what an organization can do, what's the unique approach that they can provide that we may not see others and would be a good fit for what the client is trying to achieve. But also probably asking the right questions and teasing out from the client what actually is it that you're trying to achieve? What's good for you? What would be good for you? What would you consider to be success here? Because if you're running a competitive tender for a particular project and you talk to a couple of organizations, they're all asking the similar questions, you think, right, we're probably on the right track here. I think, yeah, that's so important of helping the client to really convey what it is that they're trying to achieve. And so making sure that you've got to have that full alignment and understanding during the setup so that then, everyone's clear during the actual execution.
Yeah, makes sense. And is there anything, you know, as a broad rule of thumb, I suppose, that you would say you particularly think we need to work harder at as health communicators, as a mass population? Obviously, it can be made up with lots of different parties and, you know, doing things in different ways. But yeah, if you can generalize at all, like where would you say the industry just needs to kind of step up?
That can be quite a difficult one to answer because it would be so different for so many different people depending on what your particular role is. But it might be obvious to say, but if you're working in communications, then that's it. Getting the message across and in just this modern era where you interview people over Zoom and you work remotely and you don't see people, it's just really making sure that you're still able to engage with people in the right way. Although that can be just as much on the client side rather than just with agencies as well.
Yeah, nice. Human connections, they'll never age, will they? So I've got one eye on the time. So I was just gonna kind of ask you a final question. And I suppose it's again quite a big one, but if you could paint an ideal world, like what's good gonna look like? You know, for health communications and how they work with pharmaceutical industry in, you know, in future. Paint us a picture of your ideal world, and feel free to talk about the HCA partnership alliance project that I know you've been heavily involved with as well.
I suppose that the whole the of their concept of there being the different parties, and I think that triangle was a good way
You can
to
do the sign if you
yeah
want.
to describe. Luckily, it's just a triangle, and it's not a more it's not an octagon or something like that that become more complex. But I think that was just a good way of. A simple way of saying, there's three parties here. That there are the agencies, there are the client business partners, and then their procurement colleagues. The way I view it is that ultimately you'd like to turn that triangle into just a straight line. Or if I'm trying to remember geometry from school, is it like a highly acute angle on the triangle? Because the way I look at it is, if you have talking about the client business partner and the client procurement representative, they are in the same organization. So you'd say, well, if they're in the same organization, they should be fully aligned. It's going to be different when you're talking about what's going on between two different companies, between the client and the agency. So I think that's one thing. So that I'm not sure what the if that would be as easy to describe if it says we're going to have a very acute triangle.
Possibly not.
But I think that's where we should be aiming to get to. And really, the nature of procurement is one of those kind of functions that you would that ideally should be trying to do itself out of business. That if a procurement category lead in any area, pharma or in any industry, if they have the right strategy in place for their category, they if they set things up with the right preferred suppliers, and people want to do, a bulk, the bulk or a large proportion of the business with their preferred suppliers, that's great. Or if people come to the procurement representative and ask for help, and they say, I wasn't really sure who I wanted to work for, so I'm wanting to get proposals from multiple organizations, and I'm going to be very clear as to what I'm trying to achieve. If you have a situation like that, then you think, great. In and then the procurement professional can just say, keep me looped in, but keep on doing what you're doing. So I think that should be the aim that people have, and that would be a good place to be.
Amazing. I'm all for that. That sounds great. Brilliant. Thank you, Mark. I suppose my only final question is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you would particularly want to share with the listeners and viewers?
No, maybe who's going to win the Premier League or the Champions League, but I won't give my opinions on that. I'll keep that to myself.
The time this goes out, it will probably be out, so you
Yeah, if I
shouldn't spoil things.
if I gave a prediction, I was wrong, so
Yeah,
then no one would
exactly.
listen to anything else I said. So yeah, I'll keep that to myself.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Mark, for your time. That's been really valuable. Just really good to hear a different perspective, and hear, your lens on the relationships and purpose of health communicators. So really value your time, and thank you so much for joining us.
Fantastic. Thanks, Joe. It's great to have the conversation.